Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. This show is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/ElderScrollsLoreCast.
Robots Radio presents...
Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, a place where the Elder Scrolls community can come together to discuss the boundaries of our knowledge about the universe of the Elder Scrolls. I'm adjusting my camera a little bit. It's a little bit last minute to be doing that, but it's fine because we are here live. Details. We are here live on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I'm your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here, as always, with, or at least as always, so as of the last, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 weeks recently. Now, it's been pretty recent.
But yeah, it's almost like I'm a regular.
As a regular Lotus of Doom, how's it going, Lotus?
It's going pretty well.
Nice. Welcome back. We are live as always. It is Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and we are at twitch.tv/robotsradio with our regular gang of ne'er-do-wells in chat, I guess, if that's what, I don't know, we need a name for you guys. Ne'er-do-wells isn't probably the one I should be calling everybody.
Probably not great. I'd give it a hard pass on ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells. Troublemakers. whatever we should be calling you guys. And some new people popping in. And all sorts of gift subs already going out. You guys are amazing. the worshippers? I don't know what you're worshipping. Well, I hope you're not worshipping our topic this week, because...
Well, we could be a Daedric cult.
There you go. Yeah.
To be fair, I always carry around with me the cult of the Gwar. So cult we got another cult going. Those are technically
weary travelers.
Okay.
Yeah. We could do the whole travelers thing. There's another popular podcast that did that pretty well. So I don't know if we want to steal that one. How about we could be the Daedric cult of the robot. That would be weird, but.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, there are robots in Elder Scrolls. You've got like the Dwemer constructs. They're basically robots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, maybe we're some sort of Dwemer
our
cult.
Mighty, so I was going to say, well, we could give people names like Centurions, or we could give them spheres. Like
spheres. Yeah. So speaking of weird, creepy Daedric stuff, we have a wonderful episode for today because we're talking about Hollowjack, and Lotus and I were discussing potential topics for this week's episode with Halloween coming up, and where we've been diving more into creepy stuff, and we've covered a lot of the low-hanging fruit, vampires and werewolves and all that kind of stuff, right? Zombies. Mm-hmm. But we're getting a little bit more into the more obscure details of the lore, which of course is where all the juiciest stuff is. And Hollowjack came up, and Lotus was like, "What about Hollowjack?" And I'm like, "What Hollowjack? What? I don't know much about Hollowjack. What is there about Hollowjack?" Well, Hollowjack is actually really cool.
Yes, very weird.
Very weird. This is an Elder Scrolls Online thing. There are some callbacks to some other details in some of the other games, but for the most part, this is a character that exists in the Elder Scrolls Online game and expansions more than it does the other mainline ones.
Right. I had never encountered Hollowjack until the Witches Festival event was brought into ESO 4 years ago, I want to say now. I think it's been 4 years. I think this will be the fourth one because it wasn't there at launch. No events were.
Right. Yeah. It was very brand new MMO without those things built out yet.
Yeah. It's a rough first year and a half. So I believe this is, I think it's the fourth year. It could be the fifth, I suppose. But this is the first time I had heard about Hollowjack was with the Hollowjack motif style and all these references to this character that I had literally never heard of before.
Yeah, so here, let's jump right into this. I'm going to pull up a picture on stream, and if you are not currently watching live, you can always go look up the video version of our podcast on the Robots Radio YouTube channel. There's links in the show notes, and that right there, my friends, is Hollowjack. He's a very creepy looking fellow in a hood with what appears to be a glowing orange eyes and orange mouth. He's I would say the best way to explain this would be to say he's kind of a cross between Scarecrow from Batman and a jack-o'-lantern. Would that
That's pretty accurate, actually. That's pretty accurate. And the some of the rune boxes, I think they're called, but basically some of the event goodies that you can get are like the pumpkin specter mask and stuff like that. So I think that lends credence to it even more because there's a scarecrow mask and stuff like that. And that's all. It's funny. I'm the only time I really specifically note it is for some reason that is like a huge thing for PvP. When you're in Cyrodiil, that's what people wear. I don't know. People just love that
because it's creepy and then, you know, you don't want to be hunted down by a guy who looks like that.
Yeah, that's my only guess. But like a lot of groups I run in, when it's like a pug, Zerg or something like that, there'll always be like five or six people running around in that outfit style. So it's just kind of like that. I don't know. I'm not sure if there's some deeper meaning to that or whatever, but it's just something I've noticed because it is a pretty cool style, to be fair. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah, I'm pulling that up on the screen right here. This is the outfit style that you can get in the game with its light, medium, and heavy armor variants.
I think the light one looks the coolest.
Yeah, so to describe this for the people listening, it has that kind of sack mask. Like it almost looks like a... I don't know, like, what would you call it? Like a harvesting sack, something you put a bunch of like corn in or something.
Right. It's actually kind of similar to the whole thing that we've been seeing a lot of with the Reachman vibe that's been going on this year.
Yeah, burlap sack. Is like, thank you, Fragile Shack.
Right. If you look at, I don't actually know how to pronounce her last name, but Mama C, the the boss from the Ice Dungeon that came out with the first DLC... is it called Ice Reach? Yeah, that's having a brain fart. Sure. Yeah. So anyways, Ice Reach. So with that dungeon, it's very much, this is going to either land the mark or completely go over people's heads because they're a pretty dated band. But, there were a lot of jokes about it looking like Slipknot. And this also has the same type of vibe with like the wooden or burlap sack mask, like you were saying.
Yep. Yep. A hood. And then glowing the orange glowing parts of this outfit are on the armor pieces. So like the chest and the shoulders, the hip pieces, the belt, some of the leg places. And then everything else is a very dark kind of dark green, dark gray, dark brown kind of color. Going on, so dark and then glowing is kind of the impression I get from this.
Yeah, very much so.
I can see why somebody would use this as a like something to wear when they're trying to intimidate their enemies because it's you know, it looks kind of haunting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and in chat they're mentioning things like the headless horseman, children of the cathedral, like the pumpkin stuff, the fall motif, all of these things kind of play into this design from our own world. And also in a world like Elder Scrolls where you have seasons and it's fall. So you're going to have things like harvesting and those kinds of things. And it makes sense. These are typical things that we see in the world due to the time of year, but also the play on like the glowing eyes and the dark hooded figure who's hard to make out from a distance. You know, all of those things play into natural fears. So that's what we've got going on here. Now let's talk about Hollow Jack in a little bit more detail. The actual name is Haluzech, which HHA-LUGH-ZHEK. But is generally pronounced Hollow Jack or Lord Hollow Jack. And he's a Dread Daedra Lord. He's kind of like a major Daedric Lord who isn't quite a Daedric Prince. So he's not quite up there on the scale of, say, Hermaeus Mora or Molag Bal or somebody like that. But he's still a significant... factor when it comes to what may be malevolent forces in the universe, and he's
more like the Lord of Scamps.
He's still a malevolent guy. He's still pretty powerful, and compared to a mortal, is going to be, you know, something to worry about. Now he is the lord of a specific demiplane of Oblivion named Detritus, and I love the name Detritus because it just sounds like it's just like garbage or something spewn into, you know, the blackness of space. So Let's go into Detritus, because I think this is going to give us a little bit of background before we get more into the details of Holojack. So Detritus is a ghastly demiplane of oblivion, lorded over by Holojack, the lord of mortal fears. It has been described as a half-world and is a realm filled with untold horrors. Every year during the Witches' Festival, which it's time for again on the 13th of Frostfall, the portals between Nirn and Detritus open, and gruesome items from this realm flood the markets of Tamriel. Holojack derives his supernatural power by metaphysically feeding on the fears of mortals, and his realm is dedicated to this singular purpose. So are you guys creeped out yet? Well, we've got more. Detritus is described as a claustrophobic series of small spaces cluttered and jammed with piles of mortals' lost and broken personal items. Holojack frivols there among his collection and shattered memories, categorizing and classing and replaying them to find new vulnerabilities in the mortal mind. There is no outside on Detritus, only room after room of recurring nightmares and internal torments. According to Holojack, this is because mortals fear most what is inside themselves. Now, Lotus, I've been on a kick lately with my wife watching like creepy TV shows and movies and stuff. And we got into The Haunting of Bly Manor. Have you watched any of these haunting movies on Netflix?
I have not. I've heard of them, but I have not actually seen them.
Yeah, they get some mixed reviews. Some people are more into them, and then some people are less into them. They are the kinds of shows that, you know, like The Haunting of Bly Manor is like 9 episodes long, and it's less about like gore and disturbing imagery, and it's more about just creepiness. And one of the things that happens, without any real spoilers, is that some of the characters are haunted by like legitimate ghosts and like super paranormal stuff, right? But some of them are haunted by their own memories, and you don't know until a certain point in the show which is which. So this idea that mortals are in some ways more haunted by the things within themselves, their own guilts, their own fears that are manifest inside their own minds, is really kind of cool, because that ties into that whole theme. So
interesting.
Any thoughts on this place so far?
So it's funny, because to me, it seems almost like, the best way I can explain it is like if you were with Vermina and like her realm of Quagmire, it almost seems like a lesser version of what she does to people, because she feeds off nightmares and people's fears. And it's like, okay. And then we have this dude who does that to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Very specifically around. So it's funny, because it's similar but a little different, and it's almost like Holojack himself is just the personification of this, instead of having like this be their be all end all Daedric realm type of deal.
Right. And it's almost like a subset of that. Feeding on nightmares is a state of dreams. This is almost
right.
He's feeding off of the things inside mortals and their collection of items and things, the things that they keep, the things they find sacred, the things they collect. Maybe it's more of like a collection thing, the things that they physically or mentally hold on to. And then he's using those against us. So it's different than, say, a nightmare, because a nightmare can be completely fantastical. It has nothing to do with what is currently existing around us at all. But this is more of the things that we collect in our daily lives, which is an interesting difference.
Yeah, for sure. I actually, it is. That's the perfect way to put it. It's almost like a subset of what Vermina herself is, like her realm is and everything like that. It's like, it's, I guess, in the terms of the literal definition of Detritus, it's he's just got the extra junk from Quagmire. It's like, well, he gets his own realm now.
It's like the garbage pail. It's like the garbage chute goes to his realm.
His realm has no outside, and it's literally made of trash.
Right. Lots of rooms of trash.
Right. So no, it's kind of neat. And just that connection there seems like, if they expect, because there isn't a ton on Holojack, but if he gets expanded upon more going down the lines, I almost wonder if there is more of a connection to Vermina than maybe they've just explored yet, whether or not they've decided like, oh yeah, you know, they do kind of have this, because a lot of the Daedric Lords usually have a Daedric Master, which would be a Daedric Prince. Like, they have a connection to someone.
Right. So, and the Daedric Princes often reside over more than just, say, their main plane.
Exactly.
They have control over pocket realms and other parts of Oblivion that may not be part of their main domain.
Exactly. So we could see more from Hollowjack, that they expand more and more as, you know, they flesh him out. Him, her, it, whatever Hollowjack is.
Whatever this thing is. This ghastly thing.
Burlap sack thing.
Yeah, burlap sack face. Well, it goes on. It says, relics are commonly taken from his realm, which include things like Daedrus skulls, flame skulls, and wrath lanterns. Eerie horses, sench, and wolves are sometimes summoned from his realm to be used as mounts. Although, some maintain that these creatures are simply the result of illusion magic, which is interesting because there's debate between, like, do these things really exist or are they just illusion? You know, like, right. The skeptics in this world are like, oh, it's just illusion magic. That's all. It's just, they're just made to look creepy with magic as opposed to, no, these are actually summoned from a realm of Oblivion. So I like that there's some debate there. It finishes up and says, Hollowjack style armor and weapons are crafted using pumpkin, black hawthorn, and amber marble. And this is very much an in-game thing that you would collect these in order to craft.
Yes, some of amber these marble being items. The material style, if you want to craft the in-game motif style that you get from the Witches Festival event, it would be amber marble that is the actual item that you collect to craft any of these pieces of gear in this style.
Right. So let's get a little bit more into the details here about Hollowjack specifically. Of course, he is a unique Greater Daedra, or also known as a Pumpkin Specter because of his appearance, who derives supernatural power by metaphysically, and I love this way, the way this is phrased here, feeding on the terrified whispers of all men in Myr who are driven by fear to pray for divine intervention. What?
That is intense.
So the image I have here is somebody going to, like, the Temple of the Eight because they've been tormented by something, maybe Hollowjack himself, or some other Daedra, or just some terrible thing that's happened in the world. And they're sitting there praying to the divines under their breath, praying because they're so afraid. And by doing this, they're not only praying to the divines themselves, the ones who genuinely are more in favor of men in Myr and helping, but also are feeding Hollowjack, which is just wonderful and terrifying all at the same time.
That is a verbose description. It's just very funny. That's just, whew, that is an intense description of that whole situation.
It's like, once you know this, you start wondering, like, okay, do I go to the temple and whisper my prayers, or is like, should I stop being terrified? How do I stop being terrified? How does that even work? Is there a way
is
to
it making it worse by me trying to make it better?
Right. Is there a way to undo this in some way? It goes on. It says, it is in this moment of dread that Hollowjack appears, speaking softly or in whispers from a mouth full of long, sharp teeth in order to carry out his fear feeding. He has long, slender, and agile fingers tipped with sharp talons that can slash or puncture, but which are usually used to gently emphasize what the voice behind them is saying. He's flashing his hands in front of him while he talks. Every year during the Witches Festival on the 13th of Frostfall, the portals between Nirn and Detritus open. As such, Hollowjack is closely associated with that festival, and it has become tradition for celebrants to masquerade as Hollowjack during the event. Hollowjack-style armor and weapons are crafted. There is a long literary tradition of personal accounts and folktales detailing the mortal victims of Hollowjack who were driven mad with fear due to repeated visitations from the Daedra. The Sigic Order have gathered a collection of these accounts as part of their studies on Oblivion and categorized these individuals as Hollowjack's haunted. In Nibine folklore, Hollow Jack has a connection to house cats. This is creepy too. In the case of houses where the owner was murdered, Hollow Jack is said to send the spirit of the owner's cat back to haunt the house and torment the killer. And this is an actual pet you can get in the game. You can get a ghost cat. You can get ghosts of a few different things that you can use as pets, or mounts even. There's some ghostly looking mounts. But specifically the ghost cats in the store or the packs that you can open are specifically house cats who have come back to haunt their master's houses. So you can bring one of those around with you if you think that that's not too creepy to have follow
you
around.
Yeah, if that's not super weird to you for some reason.
Right. Cubs Dolphins fan in chat says, oh my God, I hate that, haunted cats. Yes. It goes on and says, Hollow Jack bears some similarities to Jack o' the Hollow, a malevolent spirit said to haunt a hidden hollow in Rivenspire. On the night of the Witches Festival, Jack o' the Hollow curses riders all across Tamriel to ride headless throughout the night, clutching a carved pumpkin atop their mount. So there may be some connection to that because it's similar, or it may just be coincidence because of the time of year and the kinds of things going on. So that's Hollow Jack for you. The other thing that really gets me, Lotus, is that he seems to pick an individual and haunt them and return until they are driven mad. He doesn't just like randomly appear to somebody and then maybe appear to somebody else so much as he picks a target and then just drives
that person to insanity.
Yeah. Drives them to insanity. And then once that person's insane, or maybe picks dozens of people and drives them to insanity, you know, just jumping back and forth between them and giving them time to rest and recoup a little bit and then reappearing and driving them mad again. So, so fun, creepy stuff. Now the thing about this is that, so let's talk real world, right? In the real world, and being, I'm a very skeptical person. You know, ghosts don't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, first of all, if you are disconnected physically from the Earth, then how do you even stay on the Earth? Because the Earth is hurtling through space at millions of miles per hour. So ghosts would just fly off the planet, right? That doesn't make any sense. But assuming that you are in a world where there are ghosts, that's scary enough. This idea that, like, okay, the spirit of somebody who died of horrible death is haunting your house or something like that, right? That's pretty darn creepy. But when you raise it to the level of Greater Daedra, that this is a powerful godlike being whose sole existence is based around feeding off of the fears of people in order to gain strength and maintain their existence, that becomes like a whole nother level of like terror.
Yeah. It is, it's funny because there's similarities, obviously, as the world of the Elder Scrolls and Tamriel has parallels to real world because it's usually based on something, and some of the parallels are pretty strong. And you can look at the way this is done as just like a, how do we do a holiday tie-in to make this fun in game?
Right. Or, right. Of course.
There could be more to this overall because it's something that they planned along the way. I actually was looking this up while you were reading that, because when you mentioned the potential connection to Jack o' Hollow, and I was incorrect in what I was looking up, but it's something worth noting just because of the whole Halloween vibe that we have going.
Sure.
I actually was curious if he had a name. He does not, but here's your little bit of trivia. If you are to go back to Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, which is not the current game, but rather the last game, there is also a ghost headless horseman in Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
Yep.
And I was curious. I was like, wait, is that directly? It's not. So that's what I was curious on. I was actually just checking to see if it was Jack o' Hollow. I was like, wait, but that wasn't Rivenspire. So I was like, I'm not sure that that's what they meant, but for anybody interested, there's just there's a headless horseman specter prior to it just being an event as well. It's a world event in Skyrim itself. But if you go to, I believe it's, it looks like Himvir's Rest, he could be roaming around the area. So these types of ghostly connections, stuff like that, that they have in game, aren't just for the sake of, well, let's add them for the sake of adding them because it's an MMO and it's a living world type of thing. These have always kind of had little nods in the design of the series. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, hauntings and ghosts and
right.
Hauntings. I mean, there are quest lines in some of the previous games where somebody thinks they're being haunted, but they really aren't.
And they're actually not.
Yeah, but then there's things where they are, and then like, yeah, this stuff happens a lot in these games.
Yeah, and I mean, ghosts are not out of the realm of existence, you know, just in this realm. You constantly communicate with them, and you can look back through the past and, you know, interact with them. So it's neat having it's funny to refer to ghosts as concrete, but it's neat having a concrete version of these specters that they have as like a thing that's, it exists in our world. People are going to say they do, and people are going to say they don't. Mm-hmm. Regardless of that, in the Elder Scrolls, it's just like, okay, well, it's there.
No,
like,
they do.
They're
this
there.
Is a thing. Like, yes.
This is a thing. You don't have to have debate over it. It's just there. And, I actually really just like the Hollowjack vibe that he has going, because it fits pretty well with all of the reach magic that I made reference to like earlier, where it's just, yeah. I don't know, it's kind of neat, and it seems like it fits with that pretty well. Whether or not they mean for that to be the case, I don't know, but it I don't know, it feels right. In that sense,
right? Yeah, and as a callback to that, the reach magic was not magic in the same way that, say, the elven line of magic was, yeah. Like sophisticated,
yeah,
magic. It's very much blood and nature magic.
Yeah, hedge magic's a whole
hedge
different
magic.
Beast.
And a lot of times that magic it comes from connection to the Daedra. It's maybe even the origin of that power is in some way connected to the Daedra. So it would make sense that's connected. It's also that time of year where things just get darker longer, you know, earlier, and there's just more darkness in general. So that idea that can play on just a person's natural state of mind. You know, the moving to the darker seasons of the year and more time at night and those kinds of things.
Nights get longer, days get shorter. It's like if that whole darkness vibe already wears on you, it's like, well, it would make sense that if there is a Daedric Lord that preys on that, this would be his time to shine, so to speak, because it's going to be more time to make people, you know, have to deal with that type of deal. Frostfalls, when I assume that, since their calendar has a lot of similarities, I would assume their seasonal shifts are probably similar. I guess really looked that up specifically, but one would assume that they probably would also have the same rotational based, but I mean, I guess they're,
we don't know for sure. Yeah. This is a, like the shape of Mundus.
Yeah,
like
well,
all of that.
They're not.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like,
we don't really know.
Isn't direct suns, their holes into. Okay. Yeah. We'll move on.
That part gets a little complex, but it does seem like their seasons are similar to, say, Earth seasons being on the Northern Hemisphere.
For sure.
But yeah, that seems to be where we're at. All right. Well, I think this is a good time to jump to the middle of the show, and then we'll come back and finish the discussion in a little bit.
Sounds good.
The skies are marked with numberless sparks, each a fire, and everyone a sign.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.
So thank you, of course, every week. I have to say thank you to our patrons for supporting the show and for just being there in order to make sure that we can keep doing this week after week. You guys are what helps continue things moving forward, and your financial assistance is greatly appreciated. If you are interested in helping to support the show and checking out the kinds of stuff you can get for supporting the show, check out patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast, where you can find everything from the lower tiers giving you early access to episodes and ad-free episodes and those kinds of things, to the higher tiers getting you a spot on the end of the month patron episode where you can join us and chat with us about whatever topic comes up that month. And every month we decide a new topic based on what our patrons want to talk about. We throw some ideas out there and then we come up with something and we chat about it. And I know sometimes, and I've heard conversations on the Discord, people saying things like, oh, I wish I could do that, but I'm a little too shy. I don't know if I could do that. It would be stressful. Don't be shy. Lotus and I are just regular dudes. We just like to play video games and we talk into microphones more often than other people do. That's the only difference between us and you. We would love, in fact, I love hearing other people's perspectives on the lore and on the world and these games that we play, because I learn something every time. And it's one of the reasons why I look forward to these episodes every month. And, you know, honestly, I've made friends with so many people because of this as well. So it is a really, really cool thing. So if you're considering helping to support the show, that's one way you can do it. Other things that you can do are to leave reviews on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast you're listening to. If it gives you the ability to leave reviews on the future episode after the end of the month episode, I'll be reading through the new reviews. And then also, you know what? The best thing you absolutely can do to help us out is to just tell your friends. That 100%, I mean, that's 1,000 times more effective than anything I'm going to do to help to promote the show on social media or even paying for advertising, which I don't. Just tell your friends. If you have friends who enjoy these games, just say, hey, listen to the show. I think it's really cool. I think you'll enjoy it as well. Also, we also have some deals from the sponsors of the shows on the Robots Radio Network. All of us have these same sponsors, including audiobooks.com. And we're giving away 3 free books on audiobooks.com just for you being a listener of the show. All you have to do is look in the links in the show notes underneath the player on YouTube or in the show notes on the audio podcast, and you will find a link that will take you to a page where you can claim 3 free audiobooks. You just have to sign up and claim them. It's absolutely that easy, and they have everything that I've looked for, including the Elder Scrolls books that we've talked about previously on the show and a bunch of other really cool fantasy and sci-fi books and all sorts of things. It's a great way to listen to books and get them, you know, in your brain when you're commuting or working out or at work, if you can do that while you're at work, as opposed to, you know, spending time in the evenings reading when you'd rather be playing a video game or something. So it, I think it's a wonderful thing. So go check that out. It helps support the show. There's also things in there for other sponsors, things like Loot Crate. You get percentages off Loot Crate crates and groups of crates. There's Green Man Gaming, Gamefly, and NordVPN. There's deals for all of those. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, go check out the links in the show notes. All right, let's get back to the rest of the show.
Yes, yes, you're entirely brilliant. Conquering madness and all that. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, so we're back. Lotus, I want to close out our section about Hollowjack with, and I've done this on previous episodes before. I talk about this pretty regularly. Let's put ourselves and our listeners into the position of being haunted. And some people are probably going to turn off the podcast at this point. You are currently being haunted by Hollowjack.
Sid, I'm out.
Right? Okay. He shows up. You go to your like weekly, you know, you are an Advent worshiper of the 8 divines or the 9 divines, depending on what era you're in Tamriel, and if you do or don't believe in Talos, and you go
to
worship.
The answer is 9 divines.
Right, of course. And you go to do your worship and you're a little bit scared of something, and that little tinge of fear in your voice gets Hollowjack's attention, and that night he shows up when you're not expecting it, and he teases you with some fear a little bit, and he disappears. What do you do? What is the best recourse in this situation? How do you manage? Maybe you've heard of Hollowjack before. Maybe you even know somebody who was driven mad with fear. What do you do to make sure you are not driven mad with fear? And let me reiterate, this in this world, this is a very real threat.
Yeah, this is as real option.
This is as real as being, say, hunted by a tiger in the wilderness, right? Like, if you do not respond appropriately, you will be driven mad with fear and sucked into his plane of existence where you will be, I don't know, you'll have the fear sucked out of you for the rest of your life or eternity or whatever that turns into. How do you make sure that doesn't happen?
So, from my perspective, which is probably not going to be many people's perspective, but in this situation, if you're throwing like, okay, there's the potential for, you know, this to inevitably drive me insane because that's what he feeds off of.
Right. This is just the initial moment where you are starting to be afraid that this is a thing that's going to start happening, and right. You still have your sanity. So even though you're afraid, you can still make decisions that could affect the way this goes.
Yeah. So my theory with the nine divines is very rarely does praying to the nine divines actually seem to amount to helping anybody.
It does seem to be the case. Yes,
it does seem to be the case. So as anybody who actually knows any of my ridiculous stuff, including my emotes and anything, I am going straight to Daedra worship to try to guard me from this. Specifically, look, I am convinced that Hermaeus Mora is going to keep me safe in the situation. I mean, granted, I might go insane from different reasons dealing with him, but at least if I could align myself with a stronger entity than Hollowjack himself, I think I'll have to take that gamble. And since Daedra so often interact with the denizens of Tamriel,
yeah.
Whereas the nine divines, man, if you get any type of response, you better consider yourself crazy lucky. Because
it's like once in an age of the world, like once
really
in an era,
is.
they show up and do something. Yeah,
I know. Whereas if you drop a bag of, you know, books on the ground, you got two Daedric princes trying to make a bargain with you for your soul and stuff like that. So I gotta go. Since we mentioned it was like Hollowjack's a Daedric Lord, I'm going to have to just go with like, if I've somehow ended up on this guy's radar, I've got to try to go higher up the chain to keep myself probably not safe. But
so do you go to Vermina and try that route? Fragile Shark in chat just wrote Lotus paying protection money to Periite for the foreseeable future.
That'd just give me a case of the sniffles, yeah, and then I'd probably go insane.
You would just get like herpes or something. Be like, crap.
I mean, my go-to is always Hermaeus Mora, which is the running joke because, you know, he, she, it. I there's no gender to Hermaeus Mora.
Yeah.
It's
do you think the forbidden
blob.
Knowledge will help you in this case? Or
I would figure that there's, in those stacks of forbidden knowledge, there's got to be something there that's going to get me out of this bind with this dude. Because, like, it's got to be hidden in there somewhere. Vermina, I feel like you would just trade...
You just need one problem for another.
Yeah, you just trade the immediate problem of, like, okay, well, if I'm praying, there's a chance I'm going to be, like, haunted and tormented until I go insane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll trade that up so that I'll only go insane anytime I try to go to sleep.
Right.
That's not better.
It's not better. Or, like, Clavicus Vial would make you a deal, but it's probably not going to be good.
Right. As long as I had plenty of caffeine to stay on my A game and maybe, like, outsmart him, but that's what he lives for. I don't see a direct influence with a bunch of them because it's not, you know.
Yeah. What about somebody like Azura?
That's what I was going to say. Azura. Well, I guess Azura could always keep it daytime for me. Just perpetually have it be dawn.
All right.
That might be a little uplifting. I guess. All right. Yeah. Maybe something like
maybe
that.
Maybe just go to live in her realm.
Yeah.
To protect you.
But even somebody that you would consider falsely, but consider a good Daedra, like Meridia. She's not dealing like Hollowjack isn't necessarily undead.
Right.
There's no direct conflict there.
Oh yeah. 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 So he's not, like, he is not a specter that has died and come back to haunt you.
Exactly. Right. I mean, maybe her maybe his ghost cat is.
Yeah, but maybe the ghost cat is.
Smiting the ghost cat. It's like, well, this isn't going to really... I don't think the ghost cat was really what was doing me in here. So
right, right.
I would... Yeah, my play would have to be to try to go higher up the chain of power to try to, like, hey, protect me from this horrible thing, I would guess. Because otherwise, I don't know how mortals are going to dig themselves out of this, because... the act of being afraid is what's going to give him more power over you.
Right.
So even if you overcome your fear, the fact that you have that fear is empowering him. So
right, right. Well, okay. Without, so what if we go with this?
Yeah.
I've got a kind of a side idea here. What if you have a group of people that you can surround yourself with? So what if you turn this from, like, I'm going to bed at night by myself, and oh my God, this thing shows up and haunts me, you know, until I go insane, to I'm going to surround myself with, you know, or like, what if you hire the Mages Guild and you get to sleep in the Mages Guild and you hire them as protectors, and
okay,
they're, you know, you have somebody on watch every night. So when Hollowjack peers, you have powerful magical,
they put you in a little protective ward,
they put you in a ward, or they, you know, cast some spell that banishes him back into oblivion, or the fact that he is actually a Daedric being means that he could be vulnerable to spells or combat. I mean, maybe they could take him on. Like, he's not a Daedric lord. I mean, he's not like a prince. I'm sure he's still very powerful, but if you had a group that wasn't afraid of him, he might just nope out and be like, all right, you guys aren't afraid. This is not how I play this game. I'm not messing with you anymore. I'm gonna go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I could see that being that. The only thing is, I mean,
that might cost a lot of money.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Is that that is gonna get expensive, because the Mages Guild is not a cheap alternative to much. Right. They may be able to solve a lot of things, but it's all about that bottom dollar a lot of times in
or the Sidgets. What if you approach the Sidgets? Well, how do you even get hold of the Sidgets?
I was going to say, how would you even get a hold of this? All right,
let's say you have a connection to the Sidgets.
You got an 800 number, 1-800 Sidgets.
Right. You got a connection to the Sidgets, and you're like, hey, you guys want to study this guy? I got some stuff for you. You can study him like one-on-one. He's going to come haunt me again. You guys want to come over? Come on over my place. There's nothing better than firsthand experience.
That's true. And I mean, to be fair, I guess if you had some line to that, they would also be interested in, you know, what with the Sidgets eternal, I'd say quest, but almost like eternal lust for knowledge, because that's kind of all they're doing is trying to know all things all the time. They might actually see that as mutually beneficial, because they could learn whatever the situation is from Hollowjack himself, depending upon how much they actually already know of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Coming over my place. Sidgick and chill. Sidgick and Dever and chill.
Sidgick and chill. Fragile Shark.
I think we need a new show. Every time we do a show, we have another idea for a t-shirt. If anybody is listening and they want to design a Sidgick and chill shirt for us.
Sidgick and chill.
Then please do.
That's good.
Oh, man. I will get that made. I'll send you a copy of the shirt.
Perfect.
if you donate the art to us for a t-shirt.
Yep. Perfect.
Sidgick and chill. If I get more than one, then I'll have to pick. Obviously, you can't just do like maybe you could do like an MS Paint of it.
I was just thinking like the Netflix logo, but instead it just says Sidgick.
Yeah.
And there's just some like cubes on the side, just a couple ice cubes. Sidgick and chill. It's
Sidgick
like,
and chill. There you go.
It writes itself.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'd love to hear anybody else's perspectives on this. Like, how are you going to protect yourself from Hollowjack? It is quite a conundrum being in a world where these things are real as, you know, that tiger that would be hunting you in the jungle. So,
right.
Definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah. So, having a looming specter just existing in the world, potentially choosing you to feed on your fear.
Right.
Is an extra level of fear that you just live with throughout your daily life once you find out this thing exists.
How do you tell your kids, like, that's fine, just go back to sleep? It's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
When you know,
don't worry about him, like, because if you worry about him, he'll take your soul. It's like,
right, right. I mean, that is horrifying. Like, at least with a tiger, you go, don't worry. You know, like, even if you're like a primitive human culture, you're like, okay, we have our village, we have the fire, we keep the fire going, keeps the tigers away. Tigers are afraid of fire. Don't worry, we're protecting you. You're going to be fine, right? Like, you've got some reasonable response to that. But in this world, it's like, sorry, there's nothing we can do to make sure that evil Daedra don't just show up in your bedroom at night. Sleep well.
Yep. Hopefully they don't decide that you're one of their targets. That's the best you can hope for. Blind luck.
Good luck. All right. Well, I think that about does it for this for this episode. Guys, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. So please send them to us on Twitter or on the Discord. Jump in and let us know.
The only thing I would say, I guess, just for anybody who actually plays the game before we jump out, is the actual Witcher's Festival that we've referenced a couple times is coming up. This year, it starts Thursday, October 22nd at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and runs until Tuesday, November 3rd at 10 Eastern Time as well. So if you play ESO, that's kind of like your little news bit to feel free to jump in. You get 100% XP boost for drinking from this cauldron.
Yes, and absolutely awesome.
Yeah, double XP, always great. Helps you level up, helps you get your skills maxed out so that you can be more efficient. And then anytime you kill event bosses, which event bosses in Elder Scrolls Online or any boss, when you look at their health bar, they're more elaborate. They'll have like gold etchings, and it's
fancy.
Almost like a
fancy
bars. They're fancier around the health bar, but named enemies specifically are the easiest way to get them at the end of dungeons, trials, any of that stuff, delves. They will drop a plunder skull, which can give you all sorts of holiday goodies, housing materials, crafting materials, all that good stuff. There are event tickets as well for dropping your first boss of the day, which you can use then to buy all sorts of other stuff without actually spending real money, but in-game goodies. And the final Indric formation, which is demonic looking, is coming up. So lots of Halloween based stuff if you happen to play Elder Scrolls Online, coming right around the corner.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a good time of year to be playing, and it's one of those things that I missed out on last year and just caught the end of it, so I definitely need to be jumping back in. One of the things I've been debating doing is creating a new character, and we talked about this on the last episode, running through the content again from the very beginning and then documenting it and putting it on the show as these like play, you know, gameplay episodes, like I was doing with the Greymoor expansion. So that could be fun. It could be a good time to start it too, because of the XP boost. So cool. Awesome stuff. Lotus, you have a very cool thing going on this weekend that we need to bring up just in case people can get this episode or watch it soon enough to jump in and check it out.
Yeah. For anybody who hasn't already heard, those of us over at the other podcast that I am a host on.
The other podcast.
Yeah, because
it sounds like we don't say the name. It's Tales of Tamriel.
Yeah, I was going to say, over at Tales of Tamriel, the other podcast.
With which name we don't say.
Yeah. What do you call it? Yeah, well, most people aren't on multiple podcasts, but I don't know how to pace myself.
Tell me about that. Yes.
No, you're the master of not knowing how to pace yourself.
That's what my wife calls me. Whoa.
Yeah. It's.
Oh, no.
But this weekend, actually, starting on Friday, October 16th at 6 p.m., myself and the other two hosts of Tales of Tamriel, Hyperpixie Gaming and Arcaneer, are joining together, and we are doing a 48-hour charity marathon for Extra Life, which is for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which are it's a cause I've long been in favor of. And at the same time, we kick it off. We have tons of giveaways. We're actually going to do a post about it tomorrow for anybody who follows any of that junk on Twitter. But just for anybody listening to this, we have torch bugs, the pets in game for ESO. We have physical collector's coins, which are sitting next to me. We have
They're good. More. They're cool. They're like solid. They're very chunky. They're nice and big.
Yep. Yeah. If you throw a whole bag of them at somebody, you can probably take out an intruder pretty easily.
That's what we need to do to Holojack. Just a lot. Just like smack them.
We need more coins.
It's like a bag of coins upside the head.
What else is there? We have crowns, crown packs. All of this has been provided directly from ZeniMax Online Studios, which is very nice of them to do
it's
for
very cool,
us.
Because,
yeah, they do a lot with charity, so it's very nice of them. Shout out to Gina Bruno, who gave me all this stuff. The other thing is, besides the torch bugs and all of this, if you are curious about trying Elder Scrolls Online, maybe the whole MMO thing hasn't been your gig or any of that stuff, we also have a bunch of game codes, just straight up the code to the game with the chapter Elsewhere, which is the one prior to the most recent update. We have game codes that we will be also be giving away. All money raised goes directly to the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. But if you just want to hang out and keep us company, because that matters more than you think it might, when you're trying to stay awake for excessively long periods of time playing games, just come and hang out. Leave a tab open for us if you get the chance, because the giveaways are based on milestones. We're not. It's not tethered to you need to donate to get gifts. We just want to have fun and make it a fun event and do as much good as we can at the same time. So you don't feel, please don't feel obligated if you can't. This year has been tough for all of us. So don't strap yourself thin. Obviously, if you're able to help, that's greatly appreciated. But spreading the word and hanging out with us is that
keeps me more
entertained. Yeah, I have just as much fun on stream talking to people as doing anything. So that will be starting at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern Standard Time, or daylight time, depending upon what section we're in, because it, whatever, Eastern. And my shift specifically will be from 6 a.m. Eastern to 2 a.m. It looks like is my 20-hour shift. I'm over at Lotus of Doom on Twitch and Twitter. So if you want to swing by, that's going to pretty much be the entirety of our weekend. It should be a lot of fun. So swing by. Support a great cause and have some fun, maybe win a gift while you're at it.
Yeah, awesome stuff. This is something I always jump in to help at least cheer you on and make funny comments.
I was gonna say, last year I believe it was your suggestion that got us to into the situation where it was donated that I go into first person mode while doing PvP in the Imperial City, and then people donated make me stop because they were getting sick.
It was terrible. Like, so first, you can play Elder Scrolls Online in first person and it works pretty good, especially if you're doing just like PvE stuff through the adventures and like
questing,
interacting,
great
questing, talking to characters,
like the normal games.
It feels
like
a lot like Skyrim or whatever. You're just kind of, you're right there and you're seeing somebody right in front of you. You're fighting things right in front of you. But when you're in a dungeon and things are happening all around your character, it's so hard to do first person. You need to be zoomed out so you can see what's going on all over the area that you're in, and what, you know, where the zones are that you need to be dodging out of and all that stuff. But so throwing Lotus into first person in the midst of that was just chaos. It was just like stuff on the screen and Lotus is like whipping around trying to figure out where to go, and
miserable.
It was great. It was terrible and great all at the same time. Well, I'm glad that worked and got you some extra donations to make you stop.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're off to a great start for not actually starting the event so far. I was just telling you beforehand that, including what we donated to Extra Life United, we're already at 500 plus raised for the year. So it's like, that's really awesome to see in such a rough year when we haven't actually done anything yet. I mean, I streamed somewhat on my own, but it's like, we haven't actually done the marathon yet. So thank you to everybody who has already helped so much. So
yeah. Awesome stuff. Well, definitely tune in this weekend. And if you're listening to this and it's still part of the weekend, then you know, check it out. See if you can't catch, you know, any of them still playing. And you know, it's a great thing to support if you can do that as well. So very cool stuff. I'm doing all the regular stuff I'm doing over at robotsradio.net, twitch.tv/robotsradio, and the Robots Radio YouTube channel. And things are still going how they've been going. We've got some new stuff to talk about on the Cyberpunk Lorecast this weekend. I'll be posting stuff up about that. I think we might be moving that to Sunday nights from Saturday nights so that I actually get like a 2-day weekend. That would be nice.
Yeah. Weekends are lovely.
So I'm not just like doing podcasts every day of the week. So that would be cool. So yeah, come check that out. Cyberpunk's going to be awesome. It comes out in almost a month from now. We're talking about that. We're talking about Fallout stuff on the Fallout Lorecast on Mondays, the Fallout Hub on Tuesdays, and Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast on Wednesday. So if you're into any of those other games, and the Starfield Lorecast just launched. We had our first episode this Tuesday of the Starfield Lorecast where we talked about the things that we know and the things that we don't know, which we are calling Star Facts or Space Facts.
Nice.
But yeah, we don't really know a whole lot. So there's a lot of speculation going on, but it was a super hilarious time. Me and Dave Chaffins, and we also had Toon from Tooniversal. He's a Twitch streamer.
Toon's great.
Yeah, the three of us. Toon drew up some MS Paint drawings for us of things that he thinks are going to be in the game, which were absolutely hilarious, and you can check those out on the Robots Radio YouTube channel. But we'll be up on all the podcatchers very, very soon. Apple always takes like a week or two to get us up on their thing when you launch a new show, but that should be up very, very soon. So go look for that as well. I think you're going to find it's hilarious. It's not going to be a regular weekly show until we, of course, start getting some actual legitimate information to talk about, but it'll be something that we drop every few weeks or every month or so up until that point. So that's
what was the Todd quote? There's a surprising amount of hype around Starfield for how little anybody knows about the actual game.
right. Well, it's just everybody's been waiting for so long for the next mainline Bethesda game to come out. You know, we've got Elder Scrolls Online, and we've got Fallout 76, and we've got all these other games, you know, like, you know, the other properties that they do. But everybody knows that the big ones are like the big Elder Scrolls game and the big Fallout game and the main studio doing their next game. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of hype for it. So,
right.
Yeah. Jonesy confirmed. Yes. Fragile Shark notes. Jonesy is hints. You should go listen to the episode. There are the letters INSOJ in one of the screenshots that leaked. And if you reverse that, it says Jonesy. And so Jonesy will be the name of all of our characters when we start playing the game. And if there's any way that you can actually create a guild or something in the game, it's probably not going to be multiplayer.
I would assume it's single.
Right, based on what Tom Howard had said. But if for some reason there's a multiplayer element and you can put a guild together or whatever, we will be the Jonesy Guild, and we'll only let people in the guild who are named Jonesy.
Nice.
That's one of the jokes. So go listen to the show. I think you guys will enjoy it. All right, I think we're done for today's episode. We will be back next week. And until next week, Lotus, chat, listeners at home, be careful. Don't. If a pumpkin-faced specter shows up in your room at night, then maybe we are in Tamriel, so just be a little bit more careful about how you handle things. And hit him on the side of the head with a sack full of coins that you get from the from the stream this weekend. So there you go.
Also, I love you too, Dave Chaffins. I realized I said Toon rules, but I didn't mention Dave. I love
Dave rules too. Dave rules too. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Later.
Thanks for listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. All sounds and music are owned by Bethesda Softworks or ZeniMax Studios, and no copyright infringement is intended. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the show, please reach out to us at elderscrollslorecast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @ESOLorecast. If you'd like to help support the show, check out the rewards you can get at patreon.com/elderscrollslorecast. I really appreciate you listening, and I'd love to hear from you soon. And thanks to our patrons for support, especially our Tier 5 patrons, including Noodle Al Dente.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are dragon breaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R, now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.